Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And thank you for joining us again, listeners. Jeannie and I have taken a little break through the Christmas season, and we are back and happy to be with you and have you with us. Good morning, Jeannie.
Good morning, Maxine. Hey, listen, I don't think we took a break. We may have taken a break from the radio, but I think you're busier than ever. And congratulations, happy anniversary. That's exciting.
Thank you. One whole year in this remarriage life.
I know.
We celebrated by going to see the production of The Miracle Worker, which was absolutely outstanding, and then out to dinner. So
I can't
say enough about that play. It was such an inspiring event. Jeannie, how about you? Have you had a good start to your year?
I have, but you know what we need to talk about right now? We need to talk about what you're wearing, because I told my Facebook friends that I was wearing paint-battered clothes with messy hair and talking on my cell phone, and I want them to tell me if I still sound relatively put together, but that you'd be in your office in a sequin gown, well made up. And I wasn't positive that's the way you dress when you do the show, but I thought you might want to tell them if that's true or not.
Well, if I tell them the truth, you're going to not be seen as someone who's telling them the truth. So.
No, I told them I didn't know for sure. I said, why?
Sequin gowns are not my thing, unless it's a very special event. But I did walk my dog, and I'm in some jeans and And a nice, warm, cozy little top. So, why don't we get on with our guest today?
Yeah.
Because we have a beautiful, beautiful show ready for these ladies and gentlemen to listen to today. I am so excited about this guest. Becky Kapitsky is a freelance writer, speaker, singer, dreamer, potty trainer, lunch packer, snowman builder, and sidewalk chalk artist. She lives with her handsome husband and their two young daughters in Northeast Wisconsin, where a pink indoor trampoline fills half of the once formal living room. So you can find more about Becky at BeckyKapitsky.com. But today we're going to talk about her book, The Supermom Myth, and she's going to help us slay those dragons. So welcome to our program, Becky.
Thanks so much. It's really fun to be here, ladies. How are you doing today?
We are
great.
Doing good.
Great to have you on. Yes.
Okay, what is it about this book? What got you doing this super myth? Because when I'm looking at your book, the one thing that sticks out to me in the opening of chapter one is the Irma Bombeck quote that says, "Giving birth is little more than a set of muscular contractions, granting passage of a child. Then the mother is born." I find that hilarious and very true.
Irma, one of my favorites.
Yeah,
I think
really
Irma Bombeck is the original mommy blogger. But, you know, the thing is, we moms, we prepare for labor and delivery as though that is the mountaintop of parenting. But it is only the beginning. And then we go on this entire journey of learning how to become moms. And it's as though we have our own birth experience when we enter into this motherhood journey. And then all of a sudden we realize we are growing maybe even faster than our kids are. And you know how fast they grow. So there's so much to learn about motherhood and so much to explore about ourselves. I really believe God uses motherhood just to chisel us into these beautiful women that he sees inside. Sometimes, though, it's a little hard to find her. It's a little hard to find that beautiful lady when she gets kind of mucked up with the frustrations of motherhood.
Hey, you said something about blogging. Tell us about your blog.
Sure. I've been writing a devotional blog for about 4.5 years now. So every week I write a new devotion for moms and women, wives, just to encourage us in our everyday walk as family women. And from there, it sort of grew the book, this real heart that I have for encouraging women. And I just want us to dig into Scripture and to see what it has to say. There's so much in Scripture that applies to our everyday messy lives. And you know, the Bible is not just for theologians. It's for that mom who is changing diapers or packing the lunches or picking up the kids from school and going to karate practice, whatever it is. The Bible has something to say about how we ought to live our lives and how we ought to be encouraged when we feel like our lives are just really ordinary and mundane.
I like the humor that you add to your book, Becky. It's a lot of fun to start reading through your words. You have a unique style that really can capture and lighten the load of being a mom. What is the supermom myth? What are we talking about?
The myth is that women have it all together or are supposed to have it all together. And so we look at each other and we think, well, that lady runs marathons and her kid's hair is always combed. And then this lady over here, she makes these beautiful cupcakes and, you know, she puts like zucchini in her brownies and I should be doing all of those things. And then these kids are always well behaved or that husband seems to love his wife so much. And we look at all of the women surrounding us and assume that everybody else has it together and we don't. And that is such a lie because not a single one of us has it all together. And we can't be all women at one time. But yet we think we are supposed to meet this self-imposed standard of being the super mom. And it's almost celebrated like that is an accomplishment in today's world when really what we're aspiring to there is something that no woman can really attain. And so we just set ourselves up for failure and then we feel guilty because we failed.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So hey, why don't we talk about those little myths? What are they? I mean, you're calling them villains, too. So
are they the villains? Yeah,
I call them the dirty villains of motherhood. And those dirty villains are essentially our alter egos. They are the nasty women that we become when we get tired or too busy or impatient or overscheduled and too worried about our kids. We sort of become these really bad versions of ourselves. And so I call those the dirty villains of motherhood. So, for example, the grouch on the couch. She's the angry, bitter, resentful mom who just thinks that everybody's out to get her, out to make her crabby, right? But it's kind of a myth that we are not supposed to ever be crabby because we all have genuine frustrations and God wants us to bring those frustrations to him and work through them with him instead of putting on the mask and pretending that we never get cranky because we moms, we all get cranky. We just don't shout about it on Facebook, that's all.
What's our Pinterest perfect culture? What do you mean by that?
Pinterest perfect culture. In today's world of social media, we see a lot of on Facebook and on Pinterest and on Instagram about women who are doing 100 different things. So this woman she's got, she runs the half marathon, and then this mom just took her kids to the zoo, and this mom over here is doing some really cutesy craft activities with her kids. And so we start to think that we are supposed to be like all these other moms. And the problem is we forget that everybody out there is just showing their highlight reel. Nobody shares the outtakes. So I'm looking at these other women and thinking, I'm supposed to have my kid at the zoo right now when, you know, really I'm sitting in the living room on the couch letting them watch TV and I've got a bag of Cheetos sitting here, you know, and that makes me a terrible mom. But really, that's just my Cheeto day. You know, tomorrow maybe I'll take them to the zoo and then you better believe that I'm going to post about it on Facebook so that everybody knows I take my kids to the zoo, right? So it's all just it's the highlights. And then we think that we're supposed to be and do all these wonderful things all the time because it's what we're seeing constantly because we're not really digging in to see that mom next door, she was just really cranky at her kids this morning too, or she just had a bad day too. And so let's just encourage one another, support one another, instead of competing or thinking that we're supposed to be somebody we're not.
One of the things that I find from young moms today is that there's guilt immediately after the child is born about the whole breastfeeding issue. If you use a bottle, you're bad mommy. If you don't use a bottle, you're good mommy. And what would you tell moms about that myth of those unmet expectations, if it's not something you can do, should you do what you can do?
That is such a beautiful question, and I can tell you that one hits me personally because I actually had that experience. I had real trouble with breastfeeding in the beginning to the point where a lactation nurse told me, well, sweetie, there's a reason God made formula. And you know that if a lactation nurse says that to you, you got a big problem. And so I carried so much guilt over that for so long. But I'll tell you what, I got the most beautiful note from a dear friend of mine, a mentor mom. And she wrote in her note to me, I will never forget it. She said, Becky, God determines who your child is going to be, not your breast milk. And I thought, amen. And that's the truth of all of it. God determines who our children will be. So when we come up against a battle that is not of our own fault, not of our own doing, and we just cannot seem to get out from under it, do we forget that God has this all under control? Even for moms whose kids maybe are not what you expected them to be, kids with special needs or health problems, was that ever a mistake in God's book? Never. God knows what he's asking us to face. And so we just need to remember it's always been up to him from the beginning who our children become. We have a little bit to say about it, but really we're all under his sovereign control. We have as much to say about it as God allows us to. But beyond our abilities, God takes over and he creates our kids to be what they're supposed to be. We get the privilege of nurturing them, of helping them to become who they're supposed to be,
and
that's a privilege. Yeah, right. I take very little credit for how my kiddos are turning out. I tell
not
you, I
when
pray.
They're turning out bad, but when they're turning out good, do that, Becky.
I pray all the time.
Do you have that trampoline in your living room?
Oh, that trampoline! It's actually pink camouflage. It's
okay.
Wonderful. I recommend
how
this to all women.
How tall are
women.
Your ceilings is all I want to know, because as a kid, I loved the trampoline.
They're
how high
not
can
that
I jump?
Tall. But my kiddos are only 8 and 5, so right now they're not tall enough to bonk their heads on the ceiling.
That'll come.
As soon as that happens, I'll get a bigger one.
Yeah.
I have
put it
beams
outside.
In my ceiling. I have beams in my front room ceiling, and we always had a wiffle ball hanging on a rope with plastic bats in view. So the kids, so I'm similar to you. Hey, you put a lot of your own stories in the book, right?
Yeah,
so
sure do.
Are you past Superman thinking now, or are you always going to be a battle?
I think it's always a battle. It's a daily battle. I know better now just through really spending time with the Lord and digging into Scripture. I know that there is no such thing as Supermom, but I battle it every day just like anybody else because I want to do the best by my kids. I want to do what God is asking me to do. But at the end of the day, I need to remember that God loves me not because of what I do. And God's love for me is not determined by how well my children behave. I am a child of God first. I'm a mom, but first I'm a child of God. We're all God's children before we are parents. And so I just need to remember that he loves me, whether I've had a really, really bad mess up day or whether my children have just aced all of their tests and said their pleases and thank yous. In the end, it's all, we just need to remember grace. We got to remember grace. Yeah, I struggle.
You said another,
I still struggle.
Another subject that you tackle, and that's about being the maid around the house. So I know raising 3 children myself that there was always a constant clean up, pick up, do up, or ask them to do so. And so that's one where you can get into some real over expectations of yourself. And does that harm the child if we don't start pushing some of that responsibility onto them?
From my experience, I believe that it can. I've seen that it can. If our children start to look at mommy as the lady who is alive to serve them. Of course, we are to serve our families, but we're to serve one another in love. And I think as kids grow, it's important to teach them the responsibility of serving one another, and whether that means sharing chores or just recognizing that that yes, mom will sacrifice for you, but mom also needs to take care of herself. It's all very important. So I've learned the hard way that one of the best ways to get housework done is to let the kids be a part of it instead of just serving to the point where suddenly I'm expected to be at everybody's beck and call. the housework still has to get done. But why not engage everybody in it once the kids are at an age where that's appropriate? And then they start to take more ownership in the home as well. But I've also had to learn on the flip side that not everything has to be sparkling clean, because that's something a lot of us moms face too. You just cannot have a spotless house and young children at the same time without making somebody really unhappy. It's always a juggling act.
How did and grandparents need to remember that too, right, Jeannie? Because when the kids come back,
yes,
you're not going to keep it sparkling very long.
Not for very long. Well, that doesn't matter because you can't see the space where it should be sparkling. It's all got clutter on it. So it works. Hey, how important do you think faith is in raising your children? Your book has a strong faith thread all the way through.
Absolutely.
Do you think day-to-day the faith matters really that much?
I was not a believer growing up. So I found the Lord in my late 20s, and I praise God that I found him before I had children. My husband and I both came to know the Lord before children. I do not know how I would get through day by day without him, without faith. And I know, you know, plenty of women survive without him, but what they're missing is the knowledge and the comfort of having a deeper well to draw from. And we get so exhausted as it is without faith, I can't imagine how easy it would be to run dry. Some days my only prayer is, you know, Lord, help me with these children. And you know, sometimes my kids know that my kids will look at me and say, Mom, I think we need to ask Jesus to help you. So, you know, that's not a really good parenting day, right? But at least my kids recognize, too, that, hey, Jesus is a part of our family. And we love him, and we know Mom needs him just as much as we do. And it's so important. I, you know, from my experience and the experience of so many moms that I've come in contact with, without having that deeper well to draw from, and without knowing that we are loved no matter what, I think parenting becomes 100 times harder than it already is. So faith for me is an everyday a priority, and it's something that I reach for every day. It's that well that I draw from. I don't know how I would get through any single day. But I start my day waking up, and I start by saying, Lord, help me to honor you today with the way I treat my family. And so I want to start every day that way. And then I mess up, but he still loves me.
Yeah, well, but we all do. But I think that that's the most important thing that you pass along to your children, is that vision of you have to have you personally, Becky, need the faith, and they're going to need it too, and they know how to access it, and they see the need for it. That's the greatest thing you could pass along. Deuteronomy 6. Yeah,
I believe that's true.
And that actually is your strongest defense weapon against falling into the supermom myth, because if you're asking the Lord to be a part of it, you're going to prioritize your day in a different way and prioritize your reactions and actions and responses a little differently, because you've already brought him into the equation. This book is really, I think, we're not at Mother's Day yet, but we're drawing closer to Valentine's Day. If you want to bless a mom with this book, this might be a really good blessing. We're talking, listeners, to Becky Kapitsky, who has written The Supermom Myth. And that's available at Amazon. You can find it there or on her website of BeckyKapitsky.com. Becky, what I'd like to ask you is, since you're using some of your own stories, would you expose a story that's in this book from one of these villain areas and share that with our listeners?
One of the stories, just any of the stories from here?
Yep,
on the
any
book?
Story that fits, and let them know which villain you're dealing with.
Okay.
And make it cute, Becky. Make it really cute.
Okay, there was a day when my husband asked me to please, I asked him, could I please go downstairs into our downstairs office? May I please go downstairs just for 30 minutes? Just let me pay some bills. I got to go downstairs to the computer, pay some bills. And this has to do with the grouch on the couch. And of course, my husband says, yeah, sure. And at the time, I think my kids were maybe ages 5 and 2. And so, you know, Saturday morning, sure, you go ahead. You do what you've got to do. I'll take care of things up here. Wonderful. So I went downstairs to pay for some bills after, I should say, I had spent about 3 hours that Saturday cleaning the house. Then I went downstairs to pay the bills. And my husband was in the upstairs playroom with my girls, and no interruptions. It was beautiful. I had 30 minutes to myself. At the time, that was really quite remarkable. So I got all the paperwork done that I needed to get done. I came upstairs. I turned the corner from the kitchen into the living room, and there was total disaster everywhere. The carpet was filled with piles of crayons and markers without their caps on and half-eaten apples. The cushions were gone from the sofa, stacked high, and I see toys everywhere, toy bins upturned, contents everywhere. And this is all my hard work that I'd done that morning, everything, disaster. And I look at little Post-it notes that are stuck to the wall, and the Post-it notes say, "Toy Market Open." And I think, how lovely. They created a toy market, but there was nobody left in the room. So I hear down the hall some giggling, and my husband is laying on our bed watching TV with the kids, and the living room is a total disaster. And I was ready to run down the hall and just shout it all out. I mean, the grouch on the couch was ready to fire everybody else in the house. And then immediately, I have this trick I use, it's called the quick switch, where I immediately try to flip whatever my mode of thinking is, I try to flip it over with scripture. So, and the thing is about memorizing scripture, when you're God-soaked, those verses come out when you really need them. So immediately, these words came into my head, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears her down. And I stopped in my tracks before I got to the bedroom to scream at my husband, in front of my kids, nonetheless, and I realized, oh, I'm about to tear my house down. And so I turned around, I went to the kitchen, I started throwing some dishes around the dishwasher, you know, I was still mad, but I started to laugh eventually as those words came into my head, and it was almost as though scripture really took away the frustration. And before I knew it, I was laughing at myself at how ridiculous it was that I almost went and tore down my family. Because why? Because my husband said, go ahead, take care of a chore. And he allowed my kids to have the fun that I usually prevent in the name of tidiness. They had a wonderful time with their dad. And he's a wonderful dad. He's so engaged, and he's involved, and he plays. He made a toy market with them. He let them jump on the sofa. And these are things that I normally don't do because I'm so uptight about making sure things are tidy. And I realized that they needed a little break from me. They got it with their dad, and I almost ripped them down because of that. But scripture stopped me in my tracks. It was such a victory for me that day. It's why I still remember it so many years later, written about it in the book. Because that is what scripture can do for us. It is alive. It is active. And it can actually stop our poor behavior, flip it over to give us a perspective, to recognize what a blessing our family is. And I'm not saying I do it perfectly every time, but wow, did I ever avert a bigger disaster. Because what I was about to create with my tongue was a lot worse wreckage than what they had created in that living room. And I'm just saying, they ended up cleaning it up. That was not my job that day.
Yeah, I love this example. You've done a great job with that. Would you let our listeners hear that verse that you just did? Because the quick switch trick is really, really a good
I like that.
Tip to leave these
so important. The quick switch trick, my favorite verse in the Bible, Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. That applies to so many aspects of family life. And I have, in fact, in my book, The Supermom Myth, I have a page that has suggested quick switch verses, verses that apply to our anger or to how we ought to be recognizing the blessings in our homes. And just memorize those verses, keep them packed in your heart, and they really do come out in the moments when you need them the most. That is the beautiful thing about memorizing scripture. It comes out. The Holy Spirit reminds us of those words, those so important words, when we really are in the midst of needing them desperately before we do something with our tongues or worse that can really tear down the people we love the best. my family. This is my family. I love them, and sometimes I don't act very loving toward them, and Satan loves that. So another mantra I have is I will not let Satan get my family. Anytime I'm upset, those words come into my head, and I think, oh, that's it. We're in a war. I will not let him get. I will not let him get my family. So it automatically makes me get on my knees, praying to the Lord, or coming up with a big fat apology, even if I'm not the one who ought to be apologizing. I don't care. I'm not going to let the enemy get my family. So important.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're starting to run just a wee bit short on time. I guess what I'd like to ask you next, Becky, is, what is the takeaway message you'd like to leave these moms with today?
The takeaway message is I want moms to know, first of all, they are not alone. They are not the only women fighting the myth of the supermom. And secondly, I want them to reclaim the joy of motherhood. We all had such joy before the children arrived. We thought we were going to be great moms, and what a beautiful thing this was to grow our families. And then we get so bogged down by the anger and the frustration and the exhaustion and the worry. And before you know it, we've sort of lost that sense of joy in the family that's surrounding us. And we're more frustrated and irritated with them than we are joy-filled. And I want women to journey with me to reclaim that joy of motherhood. We really can. We can. With God's help, we can find the beauty in the mess. It's not that the mess isn't still going to be there, but there is such beauty in it. We really just have to train our eyes to find it. That's what I want women to do, reclaim that joy, to find it once again, and just to love it, embrace it, to praise God for it.
Yeah, training our eyes. Jeannie, have you got a last question you'd like to ask Becky?
I would like to say that I think this sounds like a great book, and I love my favorite one so far is The Flip Switch. So I think it's great, and I hope moms go ahead and buy it. And go on to your blog. Did you give your blog site? Would you do that again?
Absolutely. My blog is BeckyKopitzke.com, and it's KOPITZKE. Or you can find me on thesupermommyth.com, which is a page devoted just to the book, information about the book. And then from there, if you click on a button called Home, it will take you right to my blog. So sometimes that's easier for people to remember, thesupermommyth.com.
Thank you so much
for being a part of our program today, Becky. We are really excited about what God's going to do with this book that you've written.
Thank you.
And I, for one, I've got young moms in my family that I think could actually benefit from reading this book. You know, they might quiet some of those fears before they get going too strong in their own lives, and then not give the devil a foothold in their own homes. So thank you so much for coming to us today.
Thanks, ladies. Thanks so much for having me. You have a great day.
It was fun. Thank you.
God bless you. Thanks. You too.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.